my friends. We're back live 33 minutes into the show on this September 11th, 2003, the 2-year anniversary. And I'm going to go back over what we've seen develop to, with our liberties and freedoms in the last 2 years after we're done talking to Congressman Ron Paul. And Congressman Ron Paul joined us just a few days ago, but we had to cut that interview a little bit short. Now he is back on with us. And Congressman, thank you for spending time with us today.
You're welcome. Good to be with you.
Congressman, I spoke at a meeting to a crowd that you later addressed a few weeks ago out at McKinney Ruffs outside of Austin, where your district begins here in Texas. And I had a chance to be there during your speech. You talked about the neocons, the war on terror, the economy, the depression that's coming because of the financial policies. I would like to talk about the neocons, your neocon speech. I'd like to talk about the economy. I'd like to talk about the different facets of what you, during question and answer, said is a move by people who want global government.
Can you say that again?
Well, at the end of the speech, you also answered a question by a listener about those that are pushing for global government. Can you speak to that?
Oh, okay. Yes, because I think, and it was sort of asked, about the conspiracy and the people who plan. And my answer was that, yes, there are people, but I think they're really pretty much out in the open. The people I run into actually just disagree with me on national sovereignty and nationalism. They believe in world government. They promote it. And they're not ashamed of it. They just say, well, this is what we need. This is good for peace. This is good for prosperity. And although we know that there are going to be a small number of people and corporations who may get the biggest benefit from this, many of the people who are the intellectuals and the followers are very sincere people who just think, well, you know, this is different. This is the world's different. We do need one world government. We do need these standards. We need world courts. We need the United Nations. I just flat out disagree with them. I think the smaller units of governments are better, and I think the founders were right. They didn't even nationally, they didn't want a strong central government. They wanted state government, and states ought to want county government. And it's a philosophic contest in which way we're going. Unfortunately, I think in Washington and around the world, the people who believe in one world government are making a lot of progress. And yet, we're making progress, too, because there's a growing number of Americans who are starting to understand this issue and are identifying with local small government.
Congressman Ron Paul, you gave a speech on July 10th on the floor of the House that we have posted on Infowars.com. It's also on your website. And we'll give that address out in a few minutes, titled Neocon. And you use quotes by prominent neocon leaders, people that are in the White House, in the cabinet, outside the White House. You quoted from a book that you've been given at a Republican leadership conference, and you talked about the Trotskyite, Machiavellian, entering into evil, social welfare states, big government Republican ideas, and how the conservative revolution has been totally co-opted. Now, those are quotes from your speech. Can you speak to the neocons and how one of the neocons you quoted followed up and told you, how dare you?
Yeah, and the book I quoted from was the most in that speech was by Michael Ledeen, who works at the American Enterprise Institute, and this is where the individuals are congregated that, you know, are those philosophers behind this, and they believe it. They're a little bit different than the average lefty internationalist that wants to run the UN. They're sort of the fascist types who would like to have control of the United Nations. But the speech not only dealt with the neoconservatives who are promoting this preemptive type of foreign policy where we go and we start the wars ourselves, but I also included that some of the other distortions on the conservative side that have come together. For instance, supply siders are very decent, honest people, but they happen to have been teaching for the last 20 years that deficits don't matter. Well, that's not true conservatism. And so the neocon includes both the foreign policy, the domestic policy of deficits don't matter, and that what we need is a Federal Reserve that prints the money faster rather than slower. So whether it's the domestic economic issues or whether it's the foreign policy issue, this comes together as something that this administration has been championing. And I think it's not what a lot of conservatives believe in, especially many who had supported this administration and many of the Republicans. This is not what they wanted, and it's not what they had hoped for.
Now, this particular neocon, what did he say when he called you up about quoting his own writings?
Well, I didn't personally talk to him. I mean, he's talked to my staff, and I did send them a couple emails. His main thrust was he had a threatening tone, and I ought to very quickly apologize and refute what I said on the House floor and clear the record or else.
Now, what was the particular quote that you used from his own book that made him so mad?
Well, I guess there were many of them, but just recently in an article that he wrote, he just doesn't like the attack that the neocons, have this foreign policy, and yet I used his words. You know, I didn't say, well, this is what I think they believe in. I just quoted what they've been saying.
You quote prominent neocons talking about the helpful attack of September 11th. That was helpful to get their agenda.
It was a lucky. Well, they considered Pearl Harbor I think he used the word lucky. A lucky event.
And so we need another lucky event.
Yeah, and they had written that before 9/11. And then I also said in there, this doesn't mean that they planned it or knew about it, but it was sort of an opportunity to have their way. And, you know, I think this bears it out because, you know, some of the legislation that was passed quickly after 9/11, even the Patriot Act, that wasn't brand new material. This stuff had been floating around, and they had planned on this, and this just gave them... They see it as a lucky event, an opportunity to move their agenda.
Well, Congressman, I have an article on the Washington Times titled Patriot Act Cast a Wide Net. I have another article here where they have U.S. attorneys admitting, oh, yeah, we're using this for drug cases, family violence, everything. People producing drugs, or we're charging them with weapons of mass destruction. They're admitting all this, but then Ashcroft every day says, this isn't for the average public, this is just for terrorists. But they don't know the definition of terrorism is so broad, it encompasses everything.
Well, I think the neatest excuse, the most extreme excuse is that they want to even make some more changes, and the reason Ashcroft said we should is that, well, we're doing this anyway, and we just want the law to conform with what we've been doing. And
well,
they have that attitude, you know, break the law, then change the law, and then they're legal.
Yeah, they're implementing. In fact, they've said that. We're implementing Patriot Act, too. Just pass it for us.
Yeah. And, of course, the president was pushing that yesterday, and just administrative search warrants, not even a judge. I mean, barely have a judge. It doesn't take much judge to issue one of these warrants now. But now they don't even want to bother with that.
Don't
mean that there is no privacy left if this continues.
Well, what is that where you have the police as judge, jury, and executioner? I thought that was Russia or China or Mexico.
No, it's an authoritarian state, and there's all varieties, and I guess we'll get our own if we're not careful.
Congressman, your neocon speech, you said, number one, the neocons agree with Trotsky on permanent revolution, violent as well as intellectual, that they believe in a large social welfare state. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, and this came from Irvin Kristol, who was the first one in his first book that he wrote on this. He called himself a neoconservative. Now, if you notice that many of the neoconservatives see this as a negative term, and they believe we're being unfair by calling them neoconservatives, and yet that's the name they gave themselves, you know, many years ago. But, they came from the left. They were identified in the universities as Trotskyites, and they believed in welfare. They had nothing to do with conservatism, other than the fact that when they came over, they joined the anti-communist element. You know, they thought the left was being too weak. They weren't nationalistic enough, and they weren't anti-communist enough. So that was their angle to sort of disarm the conservatives.
So now there's a co-opting taking place, and we have the neocons at the head of this. I mean, they just reported the Congressional Budget Office and several other private think tanks that the biggest growth in government ever. We've got record spending. We've got Health and Human Services, education. Bush is signing on to UNESCO. How is that conservative?
I don't see it as being conservative, and I think when I, you know, immediately detected this and would not vote for these programs, you know, there were some rumblings, and there's still a little bit of the very loyal Republicans seeing that, you know, you're supposed to stay together no matter what and just do what they tell you. But now I think it's starting to change. I think people are starting to realize, especially those who call themselves conservative, that we're not getting a conservative agenda, not with this kind of spending. You know, I tell the people, I said, why, what, and this is not, you know, the real conservative audience. I said, why does it make any sense that you have to pay all this money to go over and destroy a country and bomb it and kill a lot of innocent people? And then you immediately have to be taxed again and go over there and rebuild it at the risk of our lives, and we lose people doing this.
Well,
it's a policy that doesn't make any sense to me.
Congressman, isn't it dangerous, too, to have presidents like Clinton that lie in foreign policy and domestic policy get caught, nothing happens. Bush lies domestically and in foreign policy, and they put out fake CIA reports, and then no one's held accountable, and now they're making rumblings about Syria, Iran, North Korea, Rumsfeld's leaking battle plans to attack North Korea, hoping to get Kim Jong-il to do a first strike. It's like a 10-part plan to get the Japanese to attack us at Pearl Harbor. What do you see happening in the future geopolitically with that?
Well, unfortunately, I don't see much of a shift. I think they have too much power and control over the propaganda machine. And fortunately, we still do have some radio programs, and fortunately, we have the Internet. But you saw the figure, I'm sure, that 70% of the American people right now believe that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11.
When he had always been against groups, the religious Muslims.
Yeah, and you know, yes, you know, as bad as the guy was, there was sort of a balance between two bad people. You know, the Saddam Husseins of the world, as well as the Al Qaeda, they sort of fight their own fights over there, and that's where their fight ought to be, and ought not to be here, and we ought not to be there.
Well, that's
because we go there, they come here, and we just aggravate their factions.
During your speech a few weekends ago here in Austin, you talked about how what the globalists are doing, the one-worlders, are pushing 100 million Muslims to be our enemy when many of them weren't, and they're escalating it. And I wanted to jump up and say, Congressman, Rumsfeld's own group, P2OG, at the Pentagon, says they're there to get the Muslims to hate us and to attack us, so they have a pretext to then go after them.
Yeah.
Now, that's Rumsfeld's own document. Can you speak to P2OG?
Well, you know, that's sort of the lucky event that they helped create. But what about if you go back in history 20 years or so, you know, back as far as more than now, even with Eisenhower, as we, you know, put the Shah in power in Iran, how that led to problems over there. And then when we were involved in Afghanistan before, we wanted to undermine the Soviets. So we literally did a lot to create the Al-Qaeda in order for them to oppose the Russians and the Soviets. They actually came to this country, and we helped start the Al-Qaeda and even helped fund some of this radical fundamentalism as an anti-communist movement. You know, it's motivated well, and you could say, well, isn't that good? You know, we got to fight the communists. But this is the reason why intervention has, you know, this ramifications and unintended consequences. That's why it's much safer to keep our nose out of this, that kind of stuff. Don't look for these unintended consequences, because it's going to backfire on us, even if it is well-intended.
Well,
and some of it is not always well-intended either.
You talk about lucky events, though, what the neocons are saying, oh, we need another Pearl Harbor, a Pearl Harbor type event in their Rebuilding America's Defenses PNAC document, just one of these nightmare documents. You also talked about this moving us towards a depression with the financial system they've set up, but again, unintended consequences, out of a out of things falling apart, I see more centralization as the answer, like Roosevelt. I'm saying they'll sell us that as the answer. You're saying that that is going to backfire on the elite. Can you speak to that that area of depression that you mentioned in your speech?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in the monetary system and the gold standard and its relationship to the Constitution. And for 30 years now, we've been off the gold standard completely, and therefore the politicians can spend without restraint, and the Federal Reserve just prints the money. Now, this works for a while, and some benefit at the expense of others, but eventually then you have the collapse of the financial system, and I'm anticipating that the dollar is going to get a lot weaker, and we're going to have a lot of inflation, and we're going to have high interest rates, and it's going to play havoc not just with our domestic economy, but the world economy. So then even those who have benefited on the short run by manipulating the currency and getting these benefits, I think they eventually suffer too. And nobody knows exactly what will come of it. It's strange things can happen. Maybe our side will actually be able to get our message out. But it's now that we have to get our message out on why we believe in limited government, the Constitution, sound money, and a foreign policy that makes sense. Because in the midst of chaos, you're liable and more likely to have some radical extremist who rides in the white horse and says, we're going to take care of you. And
it'll be the Democrats, and then they're going to suddenly, they won't dislike the Patriot Act and Homeland Security, which the Hillarys have voted for. That's another thing. Look at the real liberal Democrats. They're all voting with Bush right now.
That's right. And, you know, they were, you know, when they interviewed Kerry and I guess Edwards the other day, had some flimsy explanation. Oh, yes, we have to change that Patriot Act. You know, they're starting to sense what we knew and what we've been listening to. Oh, yeah, we have to change it. But the question is, why did you vote for the thing? You know?
Well, it's like Bob Barr. He votes for it and later says it's the most evil thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to change your mind and improve your ways, but if you already know it and you're suspicious, that's pretty bad when you vote for this stuff.
Congressman, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and if you need to go, I understand.
Okay.
Can you stay another 5 minutes?
I can do 5 more minutes.
Okay, we got a 3-minute break. We'll come back for just a couple minutes after that, and I've just got a couple of other key questions here. I've got a whole list of them, but I'm going to pare it down to just a couple. We'll be right back with Congressman Ron Paul, and if you need to go to InfoWars.com, and you need to read his neocon speech, you want to read his other speeches that are very powerful and informative that he writes every week, we'll give you his website when we get back. Stay with us. Come back and take calls, get into all the other news. The congressman has there's a website that has a lot of his great speeches, thelibertycommittee.org, thelibertycommittee.org. We have a link to that on InfoWars.com as well. We're talking to Congressman Ron Paul right now. Congressman, the CAPS II system, color coding, you got bad credit, you know, you go down to yellow code, now you don't have any rights. Now they're talking about putting it in the factories, in the businesses, continuity of government, continuity of industry. I've seen Ridge on C-SPAN saying we'll all have ID cards to have jobs. I mean, they're talking about an Orwellian system. The cell phones now track us with little tracker chips, and now they want more of this. How do we stop this flood of Big Brother?
Well, you know, there's no one easy answer for that. Everybody has a job. You have your job. I have my job. The most important thing we do is call attention to it, to alert the people. And that's where our toughest job is, because the government and those in charge tend to have much more clout when it comes to the control of the mass media. If you notice, they talk about liberal media, and some say, well, no, it's a conservative media. It really isn't either, as much as it's an establishment media. How many major national talk shows and how many networks would ever really take on the IRS or the Federal Reserve System or be opposed to internationalism and war? I mean, they don't touch us because they control that. So it's up to us as individuals, and that's why this network, whether it's shortwave, radios, or internet, we are reaching a lot of people.
And
so
we've got a lot of AM and FM
understanding and education that will solve the problem.
Exactly. We've got a lot of AM and FM affiliates as well. This is the last question. electronic voting machines, Congressman, there's been massive news articles, but again, hasn't made it on the nightly TV news, where they've caught these companies with backdoors, wireless software that no one was told about, very easy to go in and change the votes. They've caught industry leaders in meetings talking about manipulating things. Your comments about the touchscreen systems that are in question right now.
Well, they had an old-fashioned one like that once many years ago, and I lost an election in 1976 by 300 votes, and we found evidence of the machines being rigged in the Harris County area. So now there should be a paper trail for voting. There should be a card. There should be something. Otherwise, it's just inviting trouble.
Well, that's it, and I really hope that you will investigate that. It's blackboxvoting.com with a corporate investigator, Bev Harris, or Infowars.com. We have a large vote fraud, PrisonPlanet.com vote fraud section with mainstream news that you may not have seen from papers around the country. I mean, they caught these execs doing, well, stealing elections, and I think you need to see that, Congressman.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, and have a good weekend, sir.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Take care. Bye-bye. And I can talk to that guy for several hours, but I mean, you heard him talking about the fortunate events of Pearl Harbor, how they, quote, needed another fortunate event on the order of Pearl Harbor. This is the neocon saying we want to get the people to enter into evil, to have our Trotskyite views. I mean, Ron Paul said all this. He took their quotes and they call him up and say, you better watch it, buddy. You better watch what you're doing. Just like Lionel Chetwin, the guy that made this made-for-TV propaganda about Bush, walked into that bathroom in L.A. and said, you're Alex Jones. We're going to get you. I'm sick of these people. You want to get the truth out. If you want to circumvent the mainstream media, get 911, The Road to Tyranny, Masters of Terror, Police State, Three Total Enslavement, the new book, Order Out of Chaos. Do not wait. Just tell the truth for those that were murdered by this government. Go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and get them. Or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139 or PrisonPlanet.com or Infowars.com. Take action. This is some of the most hardcore, focused, documented information put together in a riveting fashion. Get Road to Tyranny. Get Masters of Terror. Get Order Out of Chaos. 888-253-3139 or Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. We'll be right back with the second hour. Keep it locked in.